Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bamidbar. Shavuot is coming up, and I'd like to call your attention to the Tikkun Leil Shavuot, which will be held at Pardes in Jerusalem. If you're in Jerusalem for Shavuot, then I urge you to stop by. There will be three sessions, the first from 11 p.m. to 12:30, and then from 12:45 in the morning to 2:15 a.m., and finally from 2:30 a.m. to 4 a.m. Faculty members of Pardes and also guest faculty members will be presenting, including Judy Kutzner, Rabbi Ruth Gahn-Kagan, Dr. Dvorah Steinmetz, Professor Joel Hecker, and Rabbi Daniel Landes. So I urge you to stop by if you're in Jerusalem at the Tikkun Leil Shavuot at Pardes. This week, Bamidbar, a podcast by Rabbi Meir Schweiger. Rabbi Schweiger is a senior faculty member at Pardes and also serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Bamidbar. Today, I would like to focus on one line that appears in Nachmanides' introduction to the parsha, which I think sheds light not only on the parsha, but on the whole book of Bamidbar, and is a central theme throughout the Torah. Nachmanides speaks about the Torah commanding us to create boundaries around the Mishkan, around the tabernacle, in the same way that it did regarding Mount Sinai, when the glory of God was there. In previous podcasts, we have discussed the analogy that the Ramban draws between Mount Sinai and the tabernacle. Today, I want to focus on this one element, which we could call boundaries surrounding holiness, or perhaps differently, the holiness of boundaries. So let us begin by looking at Mount Sinai, the revelation at Sinai, which we will commemorate in another few weeks on the holiday of Shavuot. Exodus chapter 19, verse 12. Maybe even begin with verse 11. God says to the people, be prepared for the third day, because on the third day, God will come down before the eyes of the people on Mount Sinai. Verse 12. Fence off the mountain for the people and tell them, beware of not going up on the mountain, touching its edge. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely die. And then in verse 3, do not touch it with your hand. You will be stoned. Whether it be a man, whether it be an animal, he will not live. Only when the sound of the shofar is prolonged will they be allowed to go up the mountain. And just before the revelation happens, God says a second time to Moses, this is verse 21, go down, warn the people, lest they burst forth to God to see, and many of them will fall. And then in verse 22, and also the priests who come near to God should sanctify themselves, lest God will burst forth against them. And Moses protests in the next verse and says, but the people cannot go up the mountain, because you have already warned them, you've already told them, surround the mountain, fence it off, sanctify it. And then God responds in verse 24 and says, go down, come up, you and Aaron with you, and the priests and the nation shall not burst forth to go up to God, lest God will burst out against them. These verses are fascinating. The reason why they're fascinating is because the Torah sees a kind of natural reaction, perhaps of curiosity, perhaps of attraction, that when God's presence will come down on Mount Sinai, the people will want to draw near, to have a bird's eye view, front row seat, to be able to experience God. And God tells Moses, warn the people, fence off the mountain, make sure they do not overstep their bounds, because if they do, that can be deadly. Rather than coming near, creating a sense of intimacy, coming near, too near, can be explosive. There's a very interesting Rashi, which appears in verse 24, when it talks about Moses and Aaron going up the mountain. Rashi says, each one had their own mechitza, their own space that was kind of fenced off. Moses was able to approach more than Aaron. Aaron was able to approach more than the priests and the people. And it seems to be, from the Rashi, Moses was allowed to go to the top of the mountain, to God's inner sanctum, where the cloud was, to be able to enter the cloud and be with God. Aaron was perhaps allowed to go halfway up the mountain, but everyone else could not even come near the mountain, was told they couldn't touch the mountain, lest they die. When we look in our parsha, we see a similar phenomenon, which is what the Ramban notes. Let us look at chapter 3. Maybe, perhaps, in fact, we will begin with chapter 1 in our parsha, chapter 1, verse 51. It says, Ubinsoa HaMishkan, when the tabernacle will travel, the Levites will dismantle it. When the Mishkan will come to rest, they will erect it. And then it says, the stranger who approaches shall die. Already we see that the Levi'im, the Levites, are given the role. Their job is to be handling the tabernacle. And as we know, the Jews travel through the desert. Each time they travel, the tabernacle needs to be dismantled. Each time they come to rest, it needs to be reconstructed. Only the Levi'im can handle the tabernacle. And we're told they should guard it from the strangers, because any stranger who approaches it will die. Note that in verse 53, chapter 1, 53 in Bamidbar, it says the Levi'im will camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there will not be rage which will be expressed against the congregation of the Jewish people. The Levi'im will guard the guarding of the tabernacle of the testimony. And in fact, as we see in chapter 2, surrounding the tabernacle on all sides are the families of the Levi'im, as if you're creating a buffer so that the Jewish people, the general population, should not draw too near to the tabernacle. When we go to chapter 3, we go into more detail about this role. Chapter 3, verse 6. God says to Moses, bring the tribe of Levi close. Stand them up on their feet before Aaron the priest, that they should serve him. And then the key verses, 7. And they will guard his guarding, which is the guarding of the congregation before the tent of meeting, to serve the service of the tabernacle. They will guard all the utensils of the tent of meeting, the guarding of the Jewish people, to service the service of the tabernacle. And then we're told subsequently in verse 10, and Aaron and his children should be charged to guard their priesthood. The stranger that approaches shall die. What is the job of the Levim? Their job is to make sure that the tabernacle, the utensils, are guarded, that no one who is unauthorized, the stranger, should come in contact with them. Ostensibly, they are guarding the tabernacle from the general Jewish population. They are the fence around the tabernacle, similar to the fence which was created around Mount Sinai, to make sure that whether people or animals do not come near to touch the mountain while the presence of God is there, just as people do not come near when the presence of God is in the tabernacle. But the warning is not only given to the general Jewish population. In the verse, the last verse which I read, verse 10, Aaron and his sons are told to guard their priesthood, and that the stranger who approaches will die. What are Aaron and his sons doing? Well, on the one hand, Aaron and his sons were encamped at the entrance to the tabernacle. They are the front lines that are making sure that no one unauthorized will enter. But there is another element. Aaron and his sons have to guard their priesthood. They have to also guard the tabernacle from themselves. They have to make sure they do not violate the tabernacle. They make sure that they do not violate their role as priests. We have two examples of this, which appeared earlier in the Chumash. One example is from the book of Exodus. In Parshat Tetzaveh, Exodus chapter 28, verse 43, Aaron and his sons are told of all the garments that they need to wear when they do the service. And it says in verse 43, these garments shall be on Aaron and his sons when they come into the tent of meeting, or when they approach the altar to service in the holy, and they shall not bear a sin and die. And there is a rabbinic comment which appears in the Talmud. When their garments are upon them, they are considered to be in their priesthood. When their garments are not on them, they are not considered to be priests. In effect, a priest who serves without the garments is a stranger. Hence, Aaron and his sons are told, do not violate your priesthood, because all strangers shall die. There is another place where we find a similar idea. After the death of Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, Aaron is given an injunction. This is in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Wine and aged wine do not drink, you and your sons, when you come to the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. If Aaron and his sons are intoxicated, or according to the rabbinic understanding, even if they're not intoxicated, but they have drunk a minimal amount of wine, which is called a revi'it, what could be considered the minimal significant amount of wine, that is enough to disqualify them from coming into the holy. And if they do, they shall die. And the next verse highlights it and says, so that you know how to differentiate between holy and profane, between unclean and clean. Know where the boundaries are. There is nothing wrong with drinking wine, but not when you're about to do the temple service. There is nothing wrong with Aaron and his sons wearing their regular clothes, but not when they do the temple service. They have to know where they draw the lines. When they are coming before God, they need to be authorized. They only have that authorization when they play their role. Their role can only be done when they wear their garments. Later on, we see this in Leviticus, in the beginning of chapter 16, the chapter which discusses the temple service on Yom Kippur. And once again, it begins by mentioning the death of Aaron's two sons. God says to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother that he should not come at any time into the holy, beyond the curtain, towards the kaporet, the cover of the ark, lest he die. Only with a cloud shall I become visible on the kaporet." Aaron, the high priest, does not have free access to go into the temple, into the tabernacle, at will. He has to be given permission. It is only on Yom Kippur. It is only when he does the service of the incense that God, in effect, allows him to come into the tabernacle. We can see an analogy to Moses at Sinai. If we look at chapter 24 in Exodus, verse 15, Moses goes up to the mountain. The cloud covers the mountain. Verse 16, the glory of God is on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covers the mountain for 6 days. And then it says, and God calls to Moses on the seventh day from the cloud. And only then, in verse 18, and Moses comes into the cloud, goes up the mountain. Even Moses cannot go into the holy, go into the inner sanctum within the cloud unless God summons him. He is called. When God calls him, he is allowed to go in. Perhaps I will insert now, according to many commentaries, this was the sin of Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu. They didn't know how to draw the boundaries. They wanted to offer incense, but it was incense which God had not commanded them to do. It was an initiative that may have been motivated by the best of considerations, but it was inappropriate because they did not respect the boundaries set up by God. If we look at the end of our parsha, the Levites, who we said were entrusted with guarding the tabernacle, who have to make sure to keep out the outsiders, the strangers, who perhaps have to guard the tabernacle from the priests as well, who potentially could violate it, have to also see to it that they do not violate the tabernacle. And hence at the end of the parsha, chapter 4, verse 17, God says to Moses and Aaron, do not cut off the tribes, the families of Kahath from among the Levites. Do this to them so that they will live and not die when they approach the Holy of Holies. Make sure that Aaron and his sons place them, station them on their service, their burdens. Make sure, verse 20, that the family of Kahath will not come to see as the holy is covered up, lest they die. The family of Kahath, who are entrusted with carrying the utensils of the tabernacle, can only come in contact with them once they have been covered up. Aaron and his sons must cover them up. Only then can the family of Kahath touch them, take them, carry them. But if they should burst forth, see the utensils, touch the utensils, while they are still visible, they will die. There is no person that has a free carte blanche license to come in contact with the holy. Everyone, beginning with Moses, through Aaron and his sons, through the Levites, down to the Jewish people, everyone has to acknowledge the boundaries that have been set up for them, which they cannot cross. Nachmanides makes the analogy between the tabernacle and Mount Sinai in terms of the sanctity of boundaries. But this concept existed from the very beginning of creation. In the Garden of Eden, when God placed Adam and Eve there, in chapter 2 of Genesis, God makes it very clear, from all the trees of the garden you shall eat, but one tree is fenced off. One tree you cannot eat, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. On the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And what we find is Adam and Eve cannot contain themselves. The desire, the yearning for that tree is so overpowering, they break the boundaries. And when they break the boundaries, they become mortal. They're sent out of the garden. In effect, there is a certain distancing between them and God. Holiness demands that we know how to create boundaries. I would even add, in any type of relationship that we have, there is a tendency to want to draw near, draw close, which is very, very positive. But in the very act of drawing near, there is inherent the possibility of violating the relationship. And hence, we have to be able to know how to, on the one hand, draw close, but on the other hand, to keep a certain distance. In fact, if I take the language of the text, the very last pasuk, let them not come, and I translated this to see, as the holy is being covered up. But another way of reading this is, let them not come to see, as if they are now swallowing up the holy, which means that sometimes, in wanting to come near, in wanting to see, in wanting to create a certain intimacy, we swallow up the other. We destroy the other. We defile the other. We have to keep a distance to preserve the integrity of the other. The Ramban, in his introduction to the Parsha, in trying to explain why all these boundaries are so important, says there is no comparison between a palace of the king which is guarded to a palace which has no guardians. When you have guardians surrounding something, it gives a message. We are surrounding something precious, something which needs to be preserved, which should in no way be minimized. The presence of God, which is in the midst of the Jewish people, needs to be valued, to be appreciated. God needs to be valued in all of God's glory, awesomeness. To try to come too near to God when God has not authorized it is violating the integrity of God. I think we could say, on a different level, similar things. When we speak about relationships between people, this could be true in terms of a marital relationship. It could be true in terms of relationships between children and parents, or even friends. If we are going to have a healthy relationship, we need to be able to appreciate the integrity, the space of the other. We need to know where to draw boundaries, because if we become too close to the other, if we impose ourselves on the other, then we in effect are violating the other. Not only are we violating the other, but in effect, we have destroyed what could be seen as a healthy relationship with the other. I would venture to say that nowadays, very often, the slogan is to break down the boundaries, let it all hang out, so to speak. Perhaps what we can learn from the Torah is that if we are in fact going to have meaningful relationships, if in fact we value or learn to value objects, people, God, we need to perhaps accept that there's a certain line we don't cross. To use the trite expression, familiarity breeds contempt. We can't be overly familiar. We need to give that object, person, God, their space. By giving them their space, that can also allow us to appreciate their magnitude. It can allow us to not just be self-absorbed and always look at the other in terms of ourselves, but to really see the other for what it is. It allows us to transcend ourselves and to ultimately realize that we exist in relationship to the many things around us. And with that realization, this can create a better world, a world of harmony, a world in which each of us knows what our place is, and by valuing the other, to ultimately understand our own value as well. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.